hey, what's going on? Happy Thursday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap Wednesday night's game, the rubber matchup of the Reds and Phillies series in Philadelphia. And there was a 3 hour and 55 minute rain delay, and that was after this game had already been pushed back 3 hours. Originally supposed to start at 1, didn't end up starting until 8. A long day for the Reds and Phillies, and there were some heavy winds in this game, caused a few adventures on some fly balls and some pop-ups, but nonetheless, they were somehow, some way able to get this game in. Kind of felt like all day it wasn't going to happen, but they were able to get this game in its entirety, and it was a good thing for the Cincinnati Reds. Reds going up against Phillies ace Zach Wheeler, and in the top of the third, Nick Martini reached on a fielding error by the Phillies second baseman Bryson Stott. Jonathan India was hit by a pitch, and then Christian Encarnacion Strand smoked a double off the base of the left field wall. 109 off the bat, put the Reds up 2-0. In the top of the sixth, Jake Fraley had a two-out double, and that brought Ellie De La Cruz to the plate. Of course, Ellie De La Cruz had the famous now brutal game on Tuesday night defensively. Some folks may have even said some crazy things like he should be sent down to AAA or he should be benched in this game. It was a good thing he wasn't benched on Wednesday night. He had struck out the first two at-bats against Wheeler, but the third time around, he smoked a double over the head of Nick Castellanos, 109 off the bat, putting the Reds up 3-0. And Frankie Montas, Reds starter, he had cruised through the first five innings. He did give up a solo home run to Kyle Schwarber. Ball only went 360 feet out, but it still counted. That made it a 3-1 game. And then kind of from that point on, it felt like Montas might have run out of gas just a little bit. He ended up walking his two final batters that he faced, and he did leave the bases loaded with two outs. That brought Justin Wilson into the game. He was able to get a weak pop-up to Candelario to end the inning with the Reds up 3-1. And Frankie Montas' final line in his second start with the Reds, it was a good one. 5 2/3 innings pitched, 5 hits, just 1 run, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Lucas Sims threw a scoreless 7th, struck out 2 batters. Fernando Cruz threw a perfect 8th with a strikeout. And then the Reds were able to add an insurance run in the top of the 9th when Spencer Steer tripled and Martini had an RBI single to make it 4-1. Alexis Diaz came in the 9th, and he was checked by all the umpires for quite a long time before he even threw his first pitch. More on that in a second. But Diaz struck out 2 batters in a scoreless night, securing a Reds 4-1 win. Reds take 2 of 3 in Philly. Reds now 4-2 on the season. Only sour note in this game, Jamer Candelario left the game in the 8th inning after possibly tweaking something after hitting a double. More on that from David Bell in just a minute. But first, here's Alexis Diaz post-game comments through translator Jorge Merlos about what went on with the umpires and also some of the adjustments that he's made to have some success on the mound.
Alexis, let's start with the business first. They stopped you before you went to the mound. What was their concern?
Well, the one umpire said that I had something there, and when all the other umpires looked at it, they were like, hey, nothing too crazy. Go let him pitch. So after that, they just let me pitch afterwards. I think he was looking for something, but I mean, the other umpire said that I didn't have anything that was too crazy.
So let's talk about that pitching. Obviously, the first time out was tough. Correct me if I'm wrong, you went to the bullpen and did a drill with pitching coach Derek Johnson. Only took you 2 times through the drill to correct something mechanically?
So when we got to Philly the other day, he said, hey, I need you the next day. I need you at the ballpark early. We got some stuff to look at. And so we did, and he gave me a couple drills that I needed to work on. And sure enough, right after that, I felt confident enough that I was going to be able to throw in a strike zone and get batters out. So really, those things that helped me out so much, I thought I had more clarity of what I was supposed to do.
All right, here's Reds manager David Bell on the pitching performances and also an update on Jamer Candelario.
Yeah, there was no complaining in our clubhouse, but you're right. It was not great conditions, long delay, and I was really happy with how our team stayed ready. They continued to, through every hour that passed, they did a good job of staying ready and came out and played a really good game. Our pitching was outstanding. I mean, just great stuff all night, obviously starting with Frankie. But then the bullpen came in and really had great stuff as well to finish it off against a really good team.
What did Candelario do?
A little bit. Hopefully it's just a little hyperextension of the elbow. Hopefully it's nothing serious. We don't think it is, but we'll reevaluate him on Friday. So he was able to still swing, but we just were cautious with having him go back and having to throw, especially in the weather.
He swinged before the double.
Yes. Right? Yeah, he felt like a little zinger. We think it was just kind of hyperextended a little bit, and not a lot of concern from our trainers, so hopefully that's fine.
He didn't necessarily aggravate it on the actual hit?
No, it was on the swing before.
Right, it didn't get worse, right?
I don't know. I don't know if it made it worse. So hopefully we won't even talk anymore about it, but obviously we'll check it out on Friday.
And lastly, here was Frankie Montas on his start.
I feel pretty good, man. I feel pretty good. Just happy to go out there and, try to keep my team in the game and get an out.
How tough was it to pitch out there tonight?
A little bit because the weight, but I'm the type of guy that until they called the game, I'm still locked in, I knew we was trying to get that game somehow today, so I was trying to keep myself, locked in the game and have the mentality that, it doesn't matter what time, I've got to still pitch.
What made you so effective this
time? Just getting ahead on the count. I feel like I've been doing a pretty good job. I'm doing that, getting just, like I said before, just trying to get people out with three pitches or less. That's my main focus. I'm not trying to strike everybody out. I know the quicker I get the guys out, probably the longer I'm going to stay in the game.
Where are you at right now compared to before the injury?
I don't want to compare myself to how I was 2021 or whatever. I'm just trying to be me this year, I'm just trying to go out there, like I said, and I'm trying to put a good performance for this team. We have a lot of young guys here that they grind, they go out there, and they're going to get their outs for you, So I'm just trying to do my part as a teammate, just trying to go out there and compete, and every time I step on the mound, just trying to give my all.
You could have told yourself, though, about your team just to compete, but to have one earned run in 10 or 11 and two-thirds, I mean, that's all. That's really...
To be honest with you, that's one of the things that I'm not trying to focus on. I'm not trying to focus on my numbers or whatever. I was kind of like a little pissed off at the end of the game because for me, I want to go out there and go 6-7, as long as I can. And I was kind of a little pissed off because I walked two guys in the row, and I take pride of on the amount of strikes I throw, I take pride on trying to get ahead on the count, and walking these two guys in a key moment, me as a competitor, I was kind of a little pissed off on that.
As far as the team goes, taking two out of three under these conditions, the start you guys have had to the season, winning two series?
Oh, that's huge. I mean, every time you get to take a series, against a good team and a good pitcher like Wheeler is, he's one of the best pitchers in the league, and the guys going out there and do the thing, it's always huge, that means the team is ready to compete, no matter who's on the mound for the opposite team.
All right, no home runs for the Reds on Wednesday night, but our deep drive of the game was Jake Fraley's 349-foot double. It was the furthest hit ball by a Red on the night. And our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by our proud sponsor, Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks as always to our friends at DSC. All right, around the NL Central, the Cubs were the only team that won on Wednesday. Cubs won 9-8 in a wild game against the Rockies. Brewers, they finally lost their first loss of the season. They lost 7-3 to the Twins. Pirates, they got their first loss of the season. They lost 5-3 to the Nationals. And the Cardinals, they lost 3-2 to the Padres. So the Pirates still at top of the division at 5-1. Brewers 4-1. Reds and Cubs both 4-2. And the Cardinals at the rear, they are 3-4. All right. Well, here's myself and Trace Fowler on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube right after the game on Wednesday night.
All right, Nick, this is a winning edition, a much-needed winning edition of Chatterbox Reds. I don't want to say it was a must-win because it really wasn't a must-win, but it felt like we were a little turmoil as a Reds fandom, right? We had, for lack of a better term, we had some controversy yesterday, and now we can all just sit back and relax and say we're two series in, two series wins, and more importantly, we have some guys on this team that are new that look great. Nick, I'll ask you, because I didn't get to ask you before we started the show, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. That's a series win against the Philadelphia Phillies, a team that's projected to make the postseason by most people. Reds went in, took care of business. Again, you know, Reds were on the verge of being 1-2 just a couple days ago, and you turn around and find a way to get a couple wins. Tonight was a really well-played game. You're going up against Zach Wheeler, and you find a way to get it done. Great win for the Reds, and you move along, get a day off, and come back home.
I thought, you know, for lack of a better term, they were going to maybe try to start this game. They ended up starting it late, Nick. It was a 1 o'clock start time, then it moved to 4, and then it moved to 8, and then they ultimately finally played at some point in that 8 o'clock time frame. And my only thing is this. I have to ask the basic question. How in the world? Is this true? I've seen that the reports are false. The reports are true. We got a big conspiracy theory. I hope our big-hearted journalists, I'm talking to you, Gordo, I hope they get to the bottom of it out in Philly. Was there really a wedding that stopped them from just being able to play this game on their off day the next day? Or what, Nick?
So I think I added to the story and the controversy here. So yesterday, I watched the TBS broadcast. I do like to watch the national broadcast when they're on because I like to, you know, hear some different perspectives, hear what they're saying, and sometimes you get some interesting insight. And last night, I got some interesting insight. They said that there was the Reds and Phillies both were off on Thursday,
yes,
but there was a wedding at Citizens Bank Park. And I tweeted that out today because I figured there probably wasn't a whole lot of Reds fans watching TBS. In fact, it's actually blacked out if you're in the Cincinnati market, so I know there wasn't a lot of Reds fans. I just thought it was interesting. Kind of blew up a little bit. And sure enough, like an hour later, I see the Phillies beat writer saying, this story is completely false. How crazy of people to say that. And I'm like, did I hear something? Like, was I like crazy last night? And sure enough, the power of the internet, someone found the video and they literally said that last night. So either TBS got some bad information or there's something fishy going on in Philadelphia.
I think it's safe to say that they tried to hide behind the fact that they didn't know that the TBS broadcast or the TNT broadcast, I think it was TNT, let the cat out of the bag.
I'll correct you on that because I got corrected on that.
Okay, so please. I love being corrected.
No, well, I got corrected too, so I'm just making
no,
sure.
I like being corrected.
We want to bring facts only to
that's
this.
Right.
This is a
no
fact
fake
show.
News. We don't do fake news.
None of that around here. So if you watch the game on the Turner Sports broadcast, it says TNT. So you think you're watching the game on TNT.
Oh,
in fact, I tweeted out something about TNT last night, but it's actually on TBS, but it has the TNT logo. I guess it's
wow.
TNT Sports on TBS.
Damn, it was real confusing. Know. If it was truly a wedding that stopped a Major League Baseball game, I want to meet the people that got married tomorrow. I want to know who they are, and congratulations to them for scheduling an April wedding in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and thinking that might perhaps not be a problem. We'll find out. Best of luck to them tomorrow. I looked up the weather. I hope it's inside. I'll leave it at that. All right. Most people tune into the show because they like the Cincinnati Reds. They want to talk about Reds baseball. Let's do it. There's a lot to talk about. I think the most appropriate thing at the top of the show to talk about is Frankie Montas. You know, I didn't know what to expect with him. If we're being completely honest, I don't think anybody in their right mind had a clue of what exactly they were going to get. Right, you have a guy that really, quite frankly, didn't pitch at all last season. Yeah, I know someone's going to correct me and say he threw a couple innings. But for all intents and purposes, it's a fresh start. You don't know what you're going to get. And the thing that I take away mostly with Frankie is that He reminds me a little bit of Graham Ashcraft in the sense of the demeanor when they're on the mound and the tempo that they decide that they're going to throw with. And I give a lot of credit to him for having the confidence this quickly into a season to be able to just challenge guys. Now, tonight's a little unique. And opening day wasn't a great lineup that he faced. So I'm not trying to cast some big net and say, okay, this guy's going to be, you know, in the All-Star game and maybe he's going to get Cy Young votes. Nothing like that. I'm not going out on that limb tonight. But I just say to all the folks that were maybe, you know, somewhat concerned about this rotation not having a quote-unquote ace, so far I can live with the five guys we're running around out there. And maybe none of them are unbelievably great, but they are all guys that I think can beat anybody. I mean, Zach Wheeler just, I mean, face head up. And Wheeler threw the ball great, too. It wasn't like Wheeler had an off night. Wheeler threw the ball incredibly well, and the Reds just beat a good team. So that's something to, I don't want to say, you know, basically, I don't want to say reserve the postseason tickets yet, but I don't know how you feel about it, Nick, but I think I take away mostly just the demeanor in which he went to it, and I know that he threw on a very cold night, and I don't know how much that matters, but I just want to throw that asterisk in there.
Yeah, you never know, like a night like tonight, usually it seems like it's more advantage of the pitchers, you know, hitters having to be delayed all day and all that kind of stuff. But remember, Frankie Montas coming off a season when he was injured, so you're having a year where a day where his start got pushed back 3 hours, then it got pushed back almost 4 more hours, and that's certainly not something easy to deal with, especially a guy that's trying to get into a routine. He hasn't been in a starting pitching routine in almost 2 years, so he was thrown off a little bit. This is a good lineup, whether the wind's blowing everywhere or not. Bryce Harper hit 3 home runs, you might remember, against Cincinnati Reds the night before, and Frankie Montas pitched really well. I mean, really, the only blemish was, I think he might have ran out of gas a little bit, but you know, with the long day of waiting around and not knowing if you're even going to pitch or not, I think you give a little bit of pass on that. The home run to Schwarber was good for Schwarber, but it wasn't an upper deck home run at 360 feet. And then he didn't really struggle at all. He only walked one batter the whole game up until the last two batters he faced. And that's what I love, because he's pumping in strikes. He's not letting the opponents beat him. And right now, I mean, you can't do much better than a 0.77 ERA. So, so far, so good. I'm excited to see this guy pitch again. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, not only that, the last thing I'm going to add on Frankie here real fast is, like, he's been very pitch efficient. Now, I know that they're towards the end. I don't want to call it a broadcaster jinx there, but I think Sadak asked Chris Welsh, you know, what are you looking at of Frankie here? And I think he had mentioned, hey, if I'm David Bell, I hope he gets through the seventh. And it's like, hey, well, let's get out of the sixth. And he never actually ended up getting out of the sixth right when he had said that. But I don't know if he ran out of his gas as much as he's going to have to kind of, again, adjust to handling some of the nerves, some of not the nerves as much as maybe the adrenaline. It felt like he kind of got into some big spots there and just lost his command a little bit. And I think you could point towards maybe he ran out of gas or maybe it was cold, but he threw the ball well in the cold the entire time. So I lean towards the latter of what I just mentioned, which is I think he just, again, he hasn't thrown in a very long time. He's not been in situations that have got his adrenaline pumping. He's going to have to figure out how to kind of handle that, and he will. But the first couple hits that he had, I don't know off the top of my head, he went, I don't know, almost, I want to say 4 innings there, and he only had, given up 2 hits, and 2 of the hits that he gave up were swinging bunts. So he threw the ball incredibly well, and, you know, some people might just say it's all because of the weather, but at the same time, he gave up 1 run. Zach Wheeler gave up a couple. Anytime you out-duel Zach Wheeler, you did something right. So kudos to Frankie Montas. I think that's what I'm going to go with, by the way. Montas is the answer to the last name for me for the rest of the year.
He's Frankie for me for now, yeah. Through eternity. But to your point, he entered the sixth inning only at 77 pitches. So those first five, he was very pitch efficient. The first two starts, he's really, I think, kind of shown that. And that's just really refreshing to see, especially, again, I know I keep saying the point, for a guy that didn't pitch all the last year to come out, you would expect more rust than you saw with him. And it feels like there's been no rust at all. That's exciting to see. I'm excited to see this guy. He's fun to watch. He's a competitor. He's just he's an interesting guy. I love his family, his kids. We saw the videos from opening day. His kid kind of giving him some shade. Yeah, he was okay. Just a fun story. And hope he has a great year, obviously.
Yeah, no, selfishly, we all hope he has a great year. Moving into CES. I guess all it took was him to get on the board because he's looked pretty good since. And the ball he hit, I don't know. I'm sure you have it. You don't need to pull it up immediately, but I mean, he hit that ball relatively well. I don't know how hard it came off the bat, but for lack of a better term, you're starting to see the ball well. You have the exit velo on hand or no?
Yeah, funny enough, CES's was 109.2, Ellie's was 109.1.
Yeah, I mean they were smashed. So, I think it's safe to say. Jameer being, and I don't know if this is on the rundown later, but Jameer possibly being hurt is just, I don't even really want to talk about it because at some point I'm just going to go bang my head into a wall. The infield as a whole now is so valuable that I don't know if we really want to discuss it because it can become pretty depressing when you think about just how thin we are. I mean, we talked about maybe shame on us. We'll take, those that don't believe in jinxes are probably going to hate my guts here on this show, but I'm just saying, shame on us and our fan base a little bit by making fun of the fact that we signed Jamer Candelario and how we have all this depth, and they're like, oh, we have way too many infielders. Now I'm looking around my shoulder wondering, like, who's going to actually be next if somebody goes down. Hopefully he's okay. I'm not trying to suggest that he's not going to be okay, but CES is a guy that we're going to lean on for production, power production, especially in this lineup.
Yeah, it was just a big hit. I mean, Zach Wheeler's obviously a great pitcher, but if you look at Zach Wheeler's line at the end of the night, he only gave up 3 hits, walked only 1 batter and struck out 10. He only gave up 4 hard hit balls. One of those was to CES. So that was just a huge, huge hit in that spot. And man, CES, he's just, his ceiling's very high. But to Candelario, it's almost crazy to say this because I don't think a lot of people would have thought this a couple months ago, but I feel like missing his defense might be bigger than anything else because he's been very sure-handed over there at third base. Looks like he's going to make all the routine plays, which I know has been a topic of discussion around town just a little bit. But his defense would be a really, really big loss for the Reds if he has to miss any time. Hopefully it was just, the Reds trying to be over cautious in a game where it's very cold outside. And it's not comfortable to be in. Say, hey, let's just get him out of the game, and we'll move on. But yeah, you do not want this guy out of the lineup for sure.
The one thing I want to add too, and I know they're professionals. I get it. They make not all of them don't make millions of dollars, but most of them make millions of dollars. I'm not here to throw a pity party for them. But tonight is not a night that many guys are going to want to be there. I mean, if we're being honest, it's a miserable existence to try to be out there and to gut through that. And I thought the Reds did a damn good job of battling at bats. And listen, Wheeler made some guys look foolish. I get it, but it didn't. They could have rolled over tonight and just been like, hey, listen, it is what it is. We're going against Wheeler, and they didn't do that. They battled. They found ways. They got some timely hits, and that's baseball in a nutshell. Is this the first game of the year where you felt like it was a normal game?
Yeah. It
kind of like nothing crazy happened. Just a normal baseball game.
Just your nice 4-1 win. Not a lot of stress at the end, which is nice. Even Alexis Diaz, even our guy Diaz was pretty as comfortable of a ninth inning as you could ever ask for.
Are you kidding me? That's the that's the top of the mountain. You know when Nick Kroll talked about peaks and valleys. Let me tell you something. That's the peak. That's the peak right there with Alexis Diaz. And I'm not that's no disrespect to Alexis. That was fantastic. He threw the ball unbelievably well. We'll get to him in just a bit. Two guys that threw the ball incredibly well that I don't want to forget. Justin Wilson came into the game. He relieved Frankie Montas, and he had a big spot in a guy that, quite frankly, had to throw strikes. He had to be effective. Now, I know that Rob Thompson, he'll be up here in a minute. We'll talk about him. He decided to keep in Brandon Marsh. For what reason? I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe they'll ask him in the Philadelphia media. Maybe they won't. But I'm not sure what that decision
Gordo's
was about.
Gordo
will be on it for sure. If they let him in over there, who knows? But here's the thing about it. You still have to make the pitch. You still have to throw strikes, Nick. I know that you can give credit and you could say, well, he's supposed to get him out. It's lefty on lefty, this, that, and the other. Justin Wilson, a guy that hasn't had a lot of innings with this team, right? I just said, and I tweeted it out, I believe this, and I'll say it straight to the camera's face. Justin Wilson, his family, if you're a part of Justin Wilson's family, you should be very proud of him. Very proud of him. You should send him a text and tell him how proud you are that he was donning your family's name out there tonight in Philadelphia. So kudos to Justin Wilson. I don't want that to go unsaid. We'll get to Sims in a minute. But anything that you wanted to add about that situation and Wilson at all?
Well, to your point with Justin Wilson, and walks have maybe been the thing that's plagued him the most throughout his career. Last full season, he was over 4 walks per 9. Remember, he was a really good reliever with the Yankees, and then he kind of got bounced around. He was walking over 5 batters per 9 innings in 2017 and 2018. So to come in that spot, bases loaded, if he doesn't throw strikes there, we could be having an entirely different postgame show right now.
Sims. If Sims is on... Let me think about this before I say it. If Sims is on, I think he's got, he's the best reliever we have. He's got to be on. That's a big if. And ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a jolly good time. You can take that one, run with it. I don't copyright it. You can use it if you'd like. But my point is that if Sims is on, I trust him more than I trust anybody because his stuff is incredibly nasty. He's got heartbreaking stuff and he's a dude. It just comes down to whether or not he's on. So. Kudos to him. That was a big spot. Him coming in, Wilson coming in, getting that third out, and then Sims backing it up, and then obviously Cruz. I don't want to overlook him either, but point is the bullpen as a whole did a hell of a job.
Yeah, absolutely. Big Lucas Sims fan here. I agree with you 100% on that.
Game Time. If you've not downloaded the Game Time app, I need you to do so. One, because it's a good app. You can get tickets in 2 clicks. I've done it many, many times. You can click all-in pricing, and you don't have to worry about trying to figure out what the fees are at the end. Now, I know. Hey, Trace, the fees are just baked in. Okay, that's fine. I don't care. I just want to know what it is so I don't get to the very end of my checkout after I put all my credit card information in there, and they're like, oh, by the way, there's service fees for 50%. No. You don't have to worry about that on the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, and you can use code CINCY. That's C-I-N-C-Y. And you can get $20 off your first purchase. And it's also helping us out, which is great. We love you for it. Get down to the ballpark. Use the Game Time app. I did see someone say it is $150. So you have to purchase $150. Take some friends. Get a group to go. They'll all chip in. And then boom, you don't need to tell them. You just don't tell them. But your ticket's probably going to end up being like free. That's how you do it. Just pro tip. All right. Rob Thompson, I don't know how much we've really not talked about other managers a whole lot on this show. Almost never. In fact, I would say Rob Thompson is in a class of his own. Some would call it the elite of the elite. Some would call it the 1%. Rob Thompson was so terrible at his job tonight that I had to put him on the rundown. Nick, I don't know in his right mind what he was thinking. For those that don't know, Marsh was coming up to the plate. Lefty on lefty. Marsh was 0-for-1 in his career against Justin Wilson. 50 points. 50-point difference in his splits. He has a guy sitting on the bench. Who was sitting on the bench?
Alec Bohm, a career 314 hitter with a 891 OPS against left-handed pitching. That is over 532 plate appearances.
Bases loaded. And he could have brought in a guy, like, I just don't understand it. There's no rationale. And listen, if I'm saying that, Nick, you know it's bad. Because I'm usually the guy that says, hey, let's ride the hot hand a little bit. And I'll be honest, I'm a guy that can learn a little bit. I can step back and say, you know what? From time to time, I can say that maybe my gut or whatever stupid things perhaps. Jake Fraley last year, I love Jake Fraley, but I was like, Jake Fraley's hot as can be. Let's at least let him, before we bring in Kevin Newman, let's at least see if maybe he can figure it out. Fraley, that is. And as the year went on, I started realizing, man, Jake Fraley, just not all that hot from the left-handed side. Maybe it isn't so bad to substitute. Maybe it isn't so bad to pinch hit. Tonight, Rob Thompson did us all a service. Kudos to them. Kudos to him.
Just a wild, wild move. Hey, you know what? If you have your left-handed batter and you're like, man, he's hot, surefire way to make him not be hot is to let him face a left-handed batter. Should have left him hot. He'd be hot again the next time he faced a right-handed batter.
It's a fair point. I mean, the more and more that that becomes a thing, the more and more I believe in it. Now, the only thing I'll tell you is I probably don't have the time, and I do this all the time. I say I'm going to do something, and then I get busy, and I never do it. But I started, I was up till 2 a.m. last night, Nick, doing outs above average. I was up till 2 a.m. I was digging into these catch probabilities, trying to figure out the StatCast stuff on defensive metrics. And I got to be honest, I'm not sold 100%. But there are some of the things when you're batting 50 points left against a left-hander versus a right-hander, and there's a lefty in the game, and you got a right-handed opportunity to bring somebody in, I think that's pretty safe to say that's a good move. But Rob Thompson thought otherwise, helped the Reds out. They win 4-1.
All right, let's get you caught up on some Reds minor league action. Triple-A Louisville, the only team in action. The rest of the Reds affiliates will get started on Friday night. But the Bats, they lost 7-0 to Gwinnett on Wednesday night. A couple good performances, though. Blake Dunn, he was 1-for-3 with a triple and a walk. Dunn's triple came in at 95-9 off the bat. Mike Ford was 0-for-4, did have two hard-hit balls in this game. Tough night for Reese Hines. He was 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. Sam Moll continuing his rehab start. He threw a perfect inning, did get one strikeout, and Sam Moll only needed five pitches to record his three outs. Unfortunately, though, Moll's velocity still down about 3 miles per hour. His velocity has been down in every appearance so far with the bat, so not sure if that's a big concern for the Reds or not, but it was nice to see Moll, who had struggled in his other outings, have a good outing on Wednesday night. A Reds reliever that is very intriguing, Yasver Zuleta, he really struggled on Wednesday night. He only threw 15 of his 27 pitches for strikes, and he allowed four hard hit balls. He only got one out, gave up four hits and three earned runs. So tough one for Zuleta, guy the Reds got off waivers from the Blue Jays. Has all the talent in the world, could throw over 100 miles an hour, but certainly has to harness it. He was really great his first time out. You might remember he actually struck out the side in his bat's debut, but a tough one on Wednesday night. And Brett Kennedy, you might remember him from last year, making a few starts for the Reds. He was the starting pitcher for the Bats. He went four innings, gave up four hits, four earned runs, one walk, and five strikeouts. All right, up next for the Reds, they are, of course, off on Thursday, so a exciting off day coming off a series win against the Philadelphia Phillies. Reds will be going up next against the Mets. The Mets are 0-4 on the season, but they will be playing a doubleheader on Thursday in Detroit. So hopefully the Mets use about every single one of their pitchers and come into Cincinnati with a very, very tired bullpen. Pitching matchups for the series Friday, it's a 6:40 start at Great America Ballpark. It'll be Hunter Green going up against Jose Quintana. Friday's game is on Apple TV, so plan accordingly for that. The rest, of course, on Bally Sports Ohio. Saturday is at 4:10. It'll be Nick Martinez up against Luis Severino. And then Sunday, 1:40, Andrew Abbott up against Sean Manea. We'll have a deeper preview of the Mets and then even more on Friday's game on Friday morning's podcast. We'll do a special audio-only podcast on Friday morning. Well, thanks as much as always for listening to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all the support we've gotten so far early in this year. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, make sure you do that wherever you listen to this podcast. New podcast every single morning, all summer long, recapping each of the Reds games. Also, leave us a 5-star review. That would really help. I saw a couple that have done it recently and really do appreciate it. Doesn't have to be anything lengthy, just a quick 5-star review. Love the pod, whatever. Nothing too in-depth. We would appreciate that. But also, just the good old-fashioned word of mouth, that helps us too. If you know Reds fans, say, hey, have you checked out Chatterbox Reds? These guys do a podcast every single morning, recapping each of the games. I know a lot of you have done that. Can't tell you how much we appreciate that. This podcast and our YouTube show has really grown much further than we ever could have hoped at this point. And that really is all thanks to you. Of course, off the bench, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon. Trace Fowler hosts that, so they'll be talking about the Reds' big win. I'm sure some more NFL free agency talk, NFL drafts creeping up on us. I'll also be talking about the Final Four this weekend, men's and women's. So be sure to check that out, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. That's off the bench, 10 a.m. to noon. And then also on Thursday, it is the premiere of Chatterbox partnership with 1410 Wing AM. That's ESPN Radio in Dayton. you'll be able to catch Off the Bench replayed on their airwaves. I believe it's going to be 1 to 3 p.m. Replayed on 1410. They're still working out some of the details on the exact time for that. But also the Kinner and Kev show, which is 3 to 5 on 1410, is going to be simulcast on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. They got a really good, cool graphics package. Looks really great. Really fun show. Justin Kinner and Kev Nash, they do a great job talking all kinds of sports topics. So they'll be on our airwaves, of course, also on their normal airwaves on 1410, but they'll be on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. Links to all of those shows are in the episode notes below. We'll hope that you have a fantastic Thursday. Enjoy the Reds off day. Hopefully the Reds can get it cooking this weekend at Great America Ballpark. If you're in Cincinnati, make sure you head down to the ballpark, support this team. Hopefully we're in for a really, really exciting summer, and I look forward to doing it, talking about it each and every day with you. We'll talk again soon. Go Reds.